Morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Martin Cruz, and I represent Michael Rue on this case. We're asking the court in this case to recognize that there was cumulative errors in this case, which fundamentally deprived Mr. Rue of a fair trial. In particular, I'd like the court to consider that the trial court erred when it admitted 404B other acts evidence regarding alleged prior sexual assaults by Mr. Rue, and to recognize that that type of 404B evidence should be subjected to a higher level of scrutiny than other types of 404B other acts evidence. This has been recognized by a number of courts. I don't think it's been recognized by this court.
I have to tell you, I think it's a terribly tough issue, and that the admission of the acts involving the half-sisters, I'm not overstating if I say it seems terribly prejudicial, but Seventh Circuit case law seems to permit such use, and the jury, of course, was instructed as to the use of the evidence. And I don't know how we get past that.
Judge, I think there may be a good reason for this court to fashion a rule that requires some other type of jury instruction in this type of situation. The jury instruction in this case was given, and it was the pro forma jury instruction. If I could just read it, you're going to hear evidence of the alleged acts other than those charged in the indictment. You may consider this evidence only on the question concerning these charges of the defendant's identity, the motive, method, opportunity, intent, and knowledge. You should consider this evidence only for those limited purposes.
Was a different jury instruction tendered?
No, it wasn't.
So we are looking at clear error.
On this particular issue, if the court were to find that the error was related to jury instructions. But
right,
that jury instruction.
Let me just go back, because you're saying that jury instruction was inadequate and none was submitted. What kind of jury instruction do you think would have been adequate?
Judge, I think that a jury instruction which would have called the jury's attention to it more.
Like what? Give me the language you would want.
For example, tailored more towards the facts of this case. For example, you will hear evidence by half-sisters of the alleged victim in this case, which alleges that Mr. Rue committed other acts against of sexual abuse against those half-sisters. The government is proposing this evidence to be heard by the jury solely for the purpose of identity and motive, because I think that's what the main two reasons that it was presented in this case were. That jury instruction was only given before the testimony of S.H., the younger of the two stepsisters. It was not renewed before the testimony of C.C., the older of the two stepsisters.
Was a request made for it to be renewed?
It was not at that point.
Yeah, before either, there was no request by the defense that it be read. And was there any, there was no request by the defense that all those other reasons in 404B that would make it relevant not be given? In other words, there was no request to just say the evidence only goes to intent and motive. I mean, identification and motive.
There was no request. There was discussion of the jury instruction between counsel and the court before it was given. The jury instruction was given after the court found, pursuant to the government's motion in limine, that evidence was going to come in. The other time that the jury instruction was given.
What I'm saying is there was no request by the defense to strike all those other phrases, because it sounds like you, when you're talking about a tailored instruction, I mean, you only wanted it to go to those two aspects.
In this case, I think that's where it was directed. But it is. But my point, I think, is that all that other language really goes over the heads of juries. And this particular type of evidence is so highly prejudicial that
it should have been more specific.
It should have been more specific.
Do you want to go on to the jailhouse reference, please? You don't have much time. And
the jailhouse reference clearly showed the jury that Mr. Rue had been in custody during the entire pendency of the action. Makes him look like a dangerous person. This is a dangerous sex offender who cannot be released on bail. It also goes to the mugshots. The mugshots clearly show Mr. Rue at his worst, especially the second one.
It could have been a passport photo. It could have been a driver's license photo. It could have been a work identification photo. The government had a legitimate reason for introducing the photos, did it not?
I don't think it did, Judge. And to answer the court's question regarding what kind of a photo is, the dates of those photos were also stipulated. One was the date of his arrest, May 18th, 2008, and the other one was February, I believe, 26th.
Surely the jury wasn't surprised by the idea that he was arrested and his photograph might have been taken about the same time, right?
No.
So what's the prejudice?
Because he was indicted, he was indicted in this case 9 months later. And together with the jury, with the phone calls, the jury easily could have concluded that he was in custody the entire time from the date of his arrest until February of 2009.
Now, we usually don't advertise that fact, but I've never seen a jury that was shocked by that news.
I think it erodes his presumption of innocence in this case, along with the jail telephone calls.
Well, in terms of the photos, you don't dispute that he had this 30 to 40 pound weight loss while he was in jail.
No, I don't. But he never indicated that he was going to use that evidence to his benefit during the trial, and it was. And if maybe that this type of evidence would have been appropriate on rebuttal if he had pointed that he didn't have a pouch anymore.
But that argument could have been made in closing argument, though, right? Ladies and gentlemen, look at the pictures, as horrible as they are, but look closely, and look at this man who's sitting here. You can wait until closing argument to make that argument, right?
It could have been done.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been. But I think that particularly these photographs, Judge, that he looks so bad in that second photograph that there is really it really impinges on his credibility. You could dress him up as well as you want to be for trial, but he looks like he just got dragged through hell in the second photograph. It also, by introducing those photographs, it precluded him from being able to explain to the jury why he looked like that and why he lost weight. He submitted a letter to the court which said that he had been beaten up in jail and he had had surgery in jail.
He was prevented from testifying about that?
Without further advertising the fact that he had been locked up and without having to go into why he was beaten up, which...
Well, but I mean, he could have testified that he had surgery, and you could have offered to not include the beating and all this other stuff in jail. That would have been a plausible explanation. The government might have even stipulated to that he had had surgery at X period of time.
He could have, but I think that ultimately the probative value of those photographs was substantially outweighed by the prejudicial effect.
Your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Mr. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honors. Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. I think maybe Judge Rovner, I sense that you want to talk to me about the 404B evidence.
Yeah.
Can I take a process, step back here and just look at the process here? If you've looked at the evidence and you see that the crucial issue in this case was not whether these pictures depicted lascivious sexual exploitation of a child. That wasn't the issue. The issue was who did it, who manufactured these pictures. And it was not just, this is different than a lot of the cases that we prosecute, because there was a vigorous defense in this case by the defendant that I did not do it. He testified I did not do it. In fact, he blamed the victims. He said, I was set up by the mother and her children. He referred to the camera that was used to take these pictures as the weapon of the victim. I mean, this was a very starkly drawn case about who produced this child pornography. And so the government, prior to trial, submitted a lengthy memorandum to Judge Mim, an experienced trial judge, and said, Judge, we'd like to get these other acts with the two stepsisters, half-sisters, into evidence, primarily to establish identity, which is the crucial issue in the case, and motive. That is, that Mr. Rue, as opposed to all the other people in the world or other people who might have been in this household, had an interest, I'll call it perverse, perverted interest in sex with children. And that helped, again, identify the person who was responsible for taking the pictures.
Maybe I'm a little dense here. I understand motive. I don't understand identity.
I guess I think they're overlapping here, Your Honor. When it's not M.O. kind of identity that we traditionally look at, that the crime was committed the same way. I'm talking about that the motive evidence helped identify the perpetrator of the offense. That's what I mean. As
were
opposed
there any
to,
state prosecutions for his acts with the half-sisters?
There were no state prosecutions, Your Honor. With the oldest half-sister, C.C., who testified,
there
was a DCFS investigation, but there was no...
was removed and never saw her family again.
Right. There were no state prosecutions. Mr. Rue was originally charged in state court, and eventually the case was adopted by the federal government, and we continued the prosecution.
Well, I just have to say, regardless, I can't imagine a reasonable juror who wouldn't think that if he committed acts against the half-sisters, he had a propensity for this type of crime. I understand all the rest, but
I'm not going to probably convince you otherwise.
Don't think you're convinced otherwise.
I do. I am, because I think, Your Honor, that in this case, this is different than many of our cases. I mean, in my view, first off, there was a very strong reason. The evidence was highly probative with regard to establishing the identity of the person who's responsible for producing. But in this case, the jury had already been exposed to all this, what I'll call the worst evidence. I mean, the pictures, the vaginal intercourse with the victim that were taken by Mr. Rue with the camera while he was doing it, the other pictures of vaginal penetration of the girl, before they ever heard the testimony of the two half-sisters. And those were not accompanied by any pictures, and certainly the graphic nature of the contact with those two girls was not near as extreme as it was with the victim, whose evidence there was no question was admissible. So I do think that separates us from a lot of the cases that maybe you see, Your Honor. If you'd like me to address the jailhouse calls, I will. Otherwise, I understand that we can rest on our brief, and I'd be happy to...
Did you break the agreement with the defense counsel?
We certainly did, Your Honor. There's no question that the prosecutor in this case inadvertently on that occasion referred to these calls as jailhouse calls. It's clear he didn't even know he had done it, because they go to the sidebar and he says, I didn't say it, until the court reporter says, yes, you did. And there's no question that the prosecutor said it. So the real question then is that single reference, which was never referred to again in the rest of the case, the jailhouse calls were not discussed in closing argument by any of the parties, if that was enough to so convince the jury to decide the case on an improper basis. And I submit under those circumstances it was not. And in fact, defense counsel didn't even ask. The judge offered, do you want me to say something to the jury about this reference to the jailhouse calls? And defense counsel said no. If I recall right, he said, I don't want to. I think it might just draw more attention to it. So are there any other questions from the court? Then I'll yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you so very much. Come on up.
Thank you.
How much? Give him 2 minutes.
I'd just like to respond to two things. One is that the government is correct that the issue was not whether it was lewd and lascivious behavior. This was a child porn case. And the introduction of prior acts of lewd and lascivious behavior by Mr. Rue only served to not only prejudice the jury, but to confuse the issue. The government also indicated that the main use of the evidence was motive, but that motive also helped to establish the identity of Mr. Rue. And I think that speaks to the problem of using 404B evidence as motive in this case, because it leads to a propensity inference by the jury. And that's what happened in here, that the evidence was used to establish motive, but in reality, the jury looked at it and used it to find that Mr. Rue had a propensity to engage in this type of conduct.
He's serving, what, 30 years, is it?
Yes, Judge.
30. And he's how old?
He is, I believe he's 42. I'm not positive, but he's early 40s. So going into too much more, I guess there were substantial differences also that I didn't raise about the earlier acts. There was an allegation that Mr. Rue had actually forced the victim in this case to have sexual intercourse, and there was nothing of that in the prior alleged acts. 4 years difference, too, between – there was 4 years that passed between when he allegedly sexually assaulted C.C., and when he was in December of 07, which is when the charged criminal behavior took place. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
Well, you certainly have the thanks of this court for taking on that burden and exercising it in the finest tradition.
Thank you
so much. And, of course, thanks to the government always.
Here.
Thank you.